I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the unstoppable force of the Holy Spirit, which resides in each one of us who have accepted you as Lord and Savior. So, Father, we just ask that you would open our hearts and minds to learn today from the words that you've given me. And I pray that I would just empty myself and have nothing to offer these women except what you've given me, Lord. We just pray for each heart to just be able to soften to what you have to say to each one of us individually. Lord, we ask that we would just block out the distractions of the world and the cares and the worries and the troubles and the problems, Father, but that we would totally focus on you right now. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. If you've been around me lately, you know that I have a few sayings that come out of my mouth very often, many, many times a day. And they include things like, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Can you say that again? What? All those kind of things. Because last year, about 9 months ago, I lost hearing in my left ear. It's kind of a freakish thing. And somebody said to me, and I had surgery, and I've been to doctors, and I've tried everything. So you can give me suggestions, but I have pursued it. Anyway, I'm constantly asking people to repeat themselves, and I'm so sorry, but I didn't hear that. Or I'm repositioning myself, and somebody said to me, I bet the Lord is going to teach you from this. And I'm thinking, oh, I'd rather him teach me like how to give all my money away that I won in the lottery. But he has taught me a lot of things. And I don't play the lottery, by the way. But he's taught me all kinds of things, very practical things, such as where to sit in a restaurant and be against the wall, be in a certain place in the booth, those kind of things. Pay attention. A lot of times you'll see me lean forward, turn my head, all those kind of things. So I've learned all those kind of things. But the best thing that God has taught me through this is that I don't have to be able to hear from him, and that listening and hearing are not the same thing. And so today we're going to talk about that just a little bit. I have a funny slide up here that says to us, you never listen to me. You only hear what you want to hear. And his response is, sure, I'll have a beer. So I'm not advocating beer, but it is funny because I think sometimes we all do that. We all hear what we want to hear. And so today our challenge is to consider, are we listening to the Lord and to his prompting as we see today? So I titled it Going, Going, Gone, because we see the gospel is spread, which is so cool because last week we ended with, you know, Stephen being stoned. And that was really heavy to see that, you know, persecution does come with loving Jesus. And so today we're going to talk about four characters in the story. So we're going to talk about each one, the good and the bad. But really the account of this story is about the Holy Spirit and the work of God. And we see today that God can bring good from evil, that he can do miraculous things like healings. God will lead us to places that we would not choose to go. He can open the hearts of the unlikely, and he can spread the gospel through ordinary men, and that would be people like you and like me, and that he can bring fruit wherever the gospel is shared. And so we're going to just dive in right here, and we start out with Acts 1 through 3, and we see that Paul says that Paul was giving approval of Stephen being stoned for his faith. And that, you know, that's really pause to just think about that, like, wow. And he's going house to house. He's dragging people off and putting them in prison. And so people are fleeing, and it's making him go to places like Samaria, which is really cool because if you think about it, it's not the plan that you and I would have done. If we had gotten the directive or the command to go share the gospel, we would have maybe gotten a meeting together, and we would have maybe had a map and some push pins, and we would have come up with some SMART goals that were, you know, specific and measurable. And we would have been like, you go here because you have relatives there, and you go there because you speak the dialect. And we would have had a plan, but God's plan was different. It looked different than what we might have done as men. And so it's not exactly what we would have thought, but this persecution actually does spread the gospel, and it spreads it to all over. And so sometimes what we think is good is not the same, or what we think is bad is not really what God has in mind, and he can bring good from bad. And so I would just ask you, where in your life has your plan and God's plan not exactly lined up? Because I know there's things in my life where I would think, I know that he can work good from this, like maybe the hearing thing, but it's not exactly what I would have chosen. So his plan and mine don't always line up. And I want to be a woman of God who our plans are the same, that I'm so surrendered to him that my plan and his plan are the same. And then I would also just ask, have you ever seen good? Much, much later than when God has something that you think is bad in your life. And sometimes we get to see it and sometimes we don't. But it is a blessing when we get to see, like, I see what he was doing. And sometimes it's right away and sometimes it's never. Sometimes it's a long time, but that he can bring good. I do believe it, that he can bring good from bad situations. And sometimes God makes us uncomfortable or makes us hurt before we're even motivated to change. And he may be preparing us for a special task when he has us go through something that's hard, but we can trust him in the midst. And we may or may not find out what that hard thing is. And so later we see Saul, who turns his name to Paul, you'll see in a few chapters. But later we'll see the work that God does in him and talk about bringing good from bad. And I mean, I was looking through a lot of the New Testament, and just some of your favorite verses are written by Paul, the same guy here that's dragging people off from their homes right now. And I don't want to steal the thunder from that coming up, but I just couldn't stay silent on these. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's from Galatians, and Paul wrote it. And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. That's from Romans, and Paul wrote it. Love is patient, love is kind, and it goes on. You know those verses from wedding verses, right? Paul wrote it, 1 Corinthians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Again, Ephesians, and Paul wrote it. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians, Paul wrote it. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know the little song? Paul wrote it from Philippians. Whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, Paul wrote it back in Philippians. And the whole I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, Paul wrote it again from Philippians. The famous verse from Colossians, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for God, for the Lord, not for men. Paul wrote it from Colossians. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote it. And then the famous one from 2 Timothy, I fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul wrote it. So if there's somebody in your life that you think, they're just too far gone. They're so evil or mean or away from the Lord, like they're beyond hope. Don't lose hope. God, I would pray for them regularly, but God is not finished with them yet. And you know what? He's not finished with me, and he's not finished with you. As long as we have breath, he's not finished with us. And he's not finished with your husband or your parents or your in-laws or your children. And so there's always hope. So if someone like Paul, Saul, can be converted, then I don't think anyone is too far gone. And we need to keep praying for their conversion and for a softened heart. And we move on and we see that in verses 4-8, we see a character, Philip, who comes into the picture. He was introduced earlier, and we remember that he was chosen one of the seven to help the widows when they were figuring out how to, divide up the tasks. He was one that was chosen to do this. And so he worked with the widow distribution, and now we see him going to Samaria, and he proclaims Christ here, and there's healings and great joy. And so it's funny because taking the gospel to Samaria is a really, really big deal. And so because they were kind of considered half-breeds. And so we looked up some verses in your lesson from, I think, 2 Kings, but years before, the Assyrians had this people group live in Samaria following their conquering of Israel, and they dispersed the people so that they wouldn't be able to like rise up and revolt. So they had them all these different places, and these Samaritans intermarried with the Jews. And so they called them half-breeds. They took on the customs, the idolatry, and they didn't stay true to their Jewish roots. And so the Jews of the day considered them half-breeds. They were like the untouchables. And so it's funny, really, if you think about it, that Jesus told them to specifically go to Samaria, because they probably would not have chosen that. It wouldn't have been on anyone's bucket list to go and do that. Some of the scriptures that we have before this one in Acts is when Jesus was at the well with the Samaritan woman, and she's like, why are you even talking to me? Because I'm a Samaritan. That was in John 4:9. In Luke 9:52, it's kind of ironic because they go, but the people don't welcome them there. And so the disciples, James and John, saw this, and they asked the Lord, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? And so there's like no mercy, like the Samaritans are, they're not a people that people want to be around. And then from Matthew 10:5, years ago, when the 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions, don't go among the Gentiles or any or enter any town of the Samaritans, go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. So we see that the gospel was first for, was going to go out first to the Israelites and then to others. So it's funny that those are the verses on Samaritans, some of those verses on Samaritans before this one, but now they are instructed to go, and it's not on anybody's bucket list to be there. So it says that he went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah here. And so it's funny because if you think about it, so Philip had like widow duty, and now he's got Samaritan duty. And I just thought to myself, like, what do you think about your job that you've been given? Like, he is obediently, joyfully serving. And sometimes I don't have the position that I want, and you probably don't too. Some of the jobs that you've been entrusted to may not be your, you know, your top choice, but we see that Philip is obedient and faithful to his call. And I love, I've been really working on my skills of observation to really try to pay attention to details in scripture, because I used to just like kind of blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, this one looks good. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, this one looks good. So I'm trying to really work on those skills. And one thing that the Lord really led me to was just how when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they paid close attention to what he said. And I thought, paid close attention. Like, that just captured me. So I looked it up in some other versions, and one of them said, from the New American Standard, we're in one accord giving attention. The message says they hung on. And I thought, do we do that? Do we hang on to the teaching that God provides for us? Or do we just kind of like blog here, or, you know, read a blog here and kind of dabble here and there? Or maybe on Facebook, we see some cute scriptures that are painted really cute that are kind of paraphrased, and, you know, that's our quiet time because we're on Facebook. Like the Lord doesn't want us to dabble. He wants us to pay close attention to what he has to say. And he's given us his word. And that's amazing. And it says that that lives were being changed. They paid close attention. Lives were changed and they had great joy. And I can't help but think that paying close attention and great joy are interrelated. And so that was just a great charge for me. Are you and I paying close attention? Are we really paying close attention to the words the Lord has given us, to the teaching that we receive, to spending time in prayer and listening to what he has to say? And do you hear and listen? Because we can hear, I can't, but you can. And I can out of this one, thankfully. But do we hear the word of God? Do we hear words that are of truth from others, but do we listen to them? Because there is a difference. And is your life different because of Jesus? Because these people who heard and believed, their life was different because of Jesus. All right, as we move on, we see Simon. And I labeled this mixed messages, because it gives you some information, but it doesn't really say whether or not he accepts Christ as his Savior. But we see it starts out that he's practicing sorcery. And at this time of year, we see a lot of Halloween things. And I think that somebody today and leaders prayed for their child because they're really scared of some of those things they see. And I think we should be scared, because Satan is real, and God is more powerful. But I do think we should stand in awe of God, but have a healthy fear of sorcery and evil. And so he boasted that he was something great, and the people were giving him attention, and he craved the attention. He loved the attention. And so it says that all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." And what do we see next? Nothing. He doesn't correct them. He doesn't change what they're saying. He just lets it ride. And Todd gave us a verse on Sunday that was so great, from Proverbs 27:21, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but man is tested by the praise he receives." And so right there, that's a big old red flag to me. But we do see that he's got a following, but when they heard Philip, then they trusted Jesus, and that many women believed and were baptized. And it also says in verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So the scripture says he believed and was baptized. And so I don't want to try to twist scripture around, and so I'm going to take it at face value, but I do ask, you know, was it a true conversion? I looked at lots of different commentaries. Some think it was, some think it wasn't, but some of them say that they thought Simon was portrayed more as an observer, that he kind of wanted to be in on the thing, but he didn't really believe. But, you know, we really can't tell for sure from the text. But then after the Holy Spirit comes, he wants to pay for it. And then he asks others to pray for him because he doesn't want to. So, but none of us are perfect either. So we can, you know, accept Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, and we can still sin too. So I go back and forth on that. I'm not sure that it's clear for us to know, and that's okay, because we don't want to take scripture when it's not written there. But I still think that we can learn from him. We can learn how to spot a phony. Whether he was one or not, I don't know. But the thing I would ask you to consider when you do hear teaching is to ask yourself, is Jesus the central message, or is it about the person who's talking? Is Simon exalted himself, not Jesus, and he himself took the credit, and then he was more concerned with the temporal problems than faith in Jesus. And so miracles should lead to Jesus, directly to Jesus, and he took the credit, and we don't see that in his life. And it just made me think about that saving faith is more than just knowing the historical facts about Jesus and what he did. For years, I knew the stories of Jesus growing up. And I went to Sunday school, and I thought, I was amazed about the feeding of 5,000. And I was, that's so sweet about, the baby Jesus in a manger. And, it's so sad about him on a cross. But I didn't know I needed to respond to those stories. I just thought they were Bible stories, just like, other true stories or biographies of famous men, George Washington or whatever. Like, it's true, and I believe it happened, but I didn't respond to it. I didn't know that I had to do something with that information. And so the first thing we need to do to accept Christ as Savior is to believe that truth, that he is what he said he is. And then we need to rely upon and derive confidence, to trust in him for the work that he did on the cross. So it's not just about knowing him, it's about knowing him. And so to follow Jesus, it makes us turn away from something else and turn toward something, and that something is him. And so no one can repent or make this decision for you. It's very personal. And so I would ask you today, do you know about Jesus, or do you know Jesus? Have you accepted him, his work on the cross, and trusted him? And I would know that any of your leaders or myself would love to talk to you about that, because I think sometimes you come to something like this, and maybe you're a little bit questionable, but you're kind of scared to ask, and we welcome those questions, because sometimes people use lingo about that you don't exactly know what they mean, and we want you to share in that, and so feel free to ask. So do you know Jesus, or do you know about him? Are you an observer? Are you just kind of like along for the ride, and like, these are such nice people, such a great place, but I don't know if I really have placed my trust in Jesus. And then also, you're in when the times are good, but not so sure when the times are difficult. And then the final thing was, is there fruit in your life? Because that will be the real reflection of having Christ in you, is that you will have fruit from your trust and faith in him. Now, the next part I just want to talk about is kind of this, I'm just calling it a parenthesis, because it's in this section that we see that the Holy Spirit comes to the people here. And we see that Philip, or Simon, believed and was baptized. And then it goes on to say that when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who are some of the leaders, to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to kind of clarify a few things on that. It doesn't have to be all that mysterious, because remember, this church is formative. It is forming. It doesn't necessarily be that it's normative for every church from here on out. It is prescriptive of what was happening then, not necessarily descriptive of everything today. And we don't want to get caught up in when they received the Holy Spirit, because the reason that many of the commentaries think is that the church is still forming, and this was a way for the church leaders to come and eyewitness that these people are believers just like they are, and they received the Holy Spirit at that time. And it's not like they brought the Holy Spirit in a suitcase and then like gave it to them. God gave them the Holy Spirit, and he gives us was the Holy Spirit. He just did it in a little bit different timing as they were forming the church so that they could witness one another and know that they're all true unified believers who believe in the same Jesus with the same Holy Spirit. And so it's not all that mysterious. It's a little different than what we believe happens to us today. We believe that at the time of salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit right then, who then can direct us and guide us and teach us and train us and convict us, but it's just a little bit different. Don't let that, you know, drag you down. They didn't bring the Holy Spirit. They were there to witness it, and that all groups were included. That was really the important part, because they had so not liked the Samaritans and what they stood for. And so for the leaders to be there when this happened just made them be like legit, right? So don't let that drag you down. The cause of Christ is what matters. It's the same Holy Spirit that gives, that helps us today. Background doesn't matter. It's for all people. The gospel, there's no divisions. No one's left out. And no one is too far from grace, like we talked about Paul. All right, and then as we move into our last little section, we see the Ethiopian who listens, believes, and is saved. And so we see here that I love this so much because Philip is so in line with the Holy Spirit that an angel tells him to go somewhere and he goes. And I just thought, I love that so much, because whenever Luke in his books introduced an angel of the Lord into his narrative, he desired to stress that this was from God, God's presence and God's activity. And so this angel tells him to go somewhere and he does. And notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't ask when, why, how. He just goes and he obeys. And so it seems that Philip got this, that he immediately went because he trusted the Lord. And I just thought that was so cool, because he's so willing to obey and to do what God, he was so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you know, that's how I want to live. And sometimes that does happen, where you're like, I need to call this person. I need to pray for this person. I need to go here or do this. And sometimes that does happen. But I hope that my life will more and more reflect how I'm listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying. Because I think sometimes when God asks us to do something, we think, well, that is a great idea, but I need to get my kids through high school or college, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Or, Lord, let me just pray about this. Like, well, you know, did he tell you this or did he not? Or I'm going to talk to a whole lot of people about this first, just to confirm, because, you know, I'm not trusting what he said. And not that community isn't good, but I think sometimes we know the answer and we still kind of, you know, muddle around. We sometimes might think to ourselves that we need just a little bit more information. Like, Lord, I need the plan, exactly where you want me to go, and those kind of things. So, but Philip goes, and on the way, we see that he meets this Ethiopian eunuch. Now, eunuch were generally men serving in royal households that were castrated, so they wouldn't want to engage with the women or others in the palace, right? And also they can't overthrow the king. But I also read somewhere that it can also just be a high official. So this guy, he's reading Isaiah 53 about being led like a sheep to slaughter. And so Philip comes across him after he's, you know, submitted to the Holy Spirit. And he comes across him and he hears him reading. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And so we see here that Philip was obedient and he's proactive. So he's going to obey and be where he needs to be. But then he's also proactive and asking him, does he know what he's reading? And the eunuch replies to him, how can I unless somebody explains it to him? So he sits down and shares the good news. And we see that Philip listens to the Holy Spirit. He begins a discussion. He takes an interest in this guy. And so that's a lesson for us to do the same thing, to ask people, you know, what they're learning, or we've heard, you know, from the pulpit of just, you know, tell me about your faith, or do you have a faith, or begin and be proactive in engaging in those conversations. And then he explains Jesus and the guy is saved. That's so amazing. And he wants to be baptized. And so we know that baptism is a symbol of our faith and a symbol of our salvation, but it's not our salvation. I would believe that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone, not any works at all, but that baptism is a wonderful way to show people what you believe, but it's not a part of salvation. And so then another place I don't want you to get bogged down is in verse 39, when it says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, Like, what? Wait a minute. Let me reread that. Let me read that in the ESV. The Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. The Message. The Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off. Like, this is really saying this, right? And it does. And I love that. The funny thing is, then it goes on to say, so, you know, he did take him away to another place. But the funny thing is, it says, but the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Like, what? Like, he didn't notice? Or I just thought that was hilarious because, but I don't want you to get carried away with the being carried away. Because if you think about it, God can do anything. And you wouldn't want to serve and love a God that couldn't. If you could figure out God, then he wouldn't be God, or he wouldn't be worth worshiping. And so he's big enough to do that kind of thing. And he did. He's more powerful. He's unexplainable. And that's a good thing. He's mighty and powerful and mysterious. And you wouldn't want it any other way. Because otherwise, you know what we'd do? We'd like have a plan. Like, A, ask Jesus into your heart. B, and we'd make a plan or a formula on how to follow God. And it's just not that way. And so it's cool that he carried Philip away and the guy went on rejoicing. I love that. So as we wrap up the so what of today, like what do we learn here? Years ago, what can we take from the scripture today? We've talked a little bit about some of it. We see that in the life of Paul, like God can bring something good from something bad. Trust him for that. We saw that Stephen was stoned and the gospel was spread, and that's good. And so we asked ourselves, what in your life and your plan is not lining up with God's? Or have you ever seen God do good later? And to remember those times, because he does it regularly. And then we saw Philip, faithful man. He's a listener. He's an obeyer. And the people, they paid close attention. Like, I want to learn from that. I want to pay close attention and not just, oh, yeah, I've heard that scripture. Oh, yeah, I know that one. Or like, no, pay close attention and the Spirit can teach us new things. And are you paying close attention and do you listen? And is your life different because of Jesus? Then we saw Simon. He was all concerned about himself and his praise. And I don't want to be like that. And he was worried about his power. He was worried about his following. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we know about Jesus like he did? Or do we know Jesus? And we don't know about whether or not he was saved for sure, but we can still learn from him. And then the eunuch. And we see that his heart was softened for the things of God. And that is so cool because he's gone out to get scripture. Somehow he's attained this and he's reading it. And then he comes across and he listens and he believes and he is baptized. And then he rejoices when the guy disappears. And so it's just amazing to see how a softened heart can follow the Lord. And so we asked also in relation to Philip going and listening to the angel, when God asks you of something, what is your response? And so we started our day talking about hearing and listening and obeying, that they're not always the same thing. You can hear God, but you don't necessarily listen to what he says. But I love the verse from John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. What does it look like to follow Jesus wholeheartedly? We see that Philip listens and obeys, and we see how the Lord can just do great things when we slow down and listen to him. So that would be my charge for us today, is to slow down, to have margin. If Philip had his schedule as busy as mine, he wouldn't have had time to go and follow what the angel told him to do. And so that's just something, it's going to be hard to hear from the Lord when we're too busy and overscheduled. We need to have margin. We need to have intentional time in the Word and to be able to pay close attention. And that also takes time and being intentional and deliberate with God's Word. We need to be praying regularly, day in and day out, in the morning, and all day, all throughout your day, and not only praying and asking for things or praising him or thanking him, but also slow down enough to listen to him. And so I thought to myself when I was planning this, I thought, wouldn't it be great? Because I love, like, it'd be so helpful when I ask God of something, if he would, like, send it to me in writing. And then I thought, he has. He's given us his word. And that was pretty convicting because I thought, you know, if you could just have something you could go back to, I'm like, oh my goodness, he's done that. And so that would be my encouragement for us today. I love from 1 Kings 19, it's Elijah and he's running from this evil queen. And the Lord tells him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And I thought to myself, to hear a whisper from the Lord, I need to slow down. I need to pay attention. I need to concentrate. I always need to filter what I hear through the Word of God, which He's given us, this written word, a love letter to us, and follow Him. So my prayer for us today is from Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us your letter to tell us what to do. And Lord, I pray that we would use it often and we would refer to it and it would be our guide and our roadmap. Father, we thank you for the characters in this story, in this true story, Father, that really happened, of how we can see that we can listen and obey and bear much fruit. So Lord, we thank you for that today. We pray that we would listen to your voice and obey it. And thank you for these women today. In Jesus' name, amen.